Last week we talked about spirit of the missionary, and so this week we are going to talk about the message of the missionary. And of course, if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. Why did I go to Acts chapter 2? I don't even know where that came from. Ashley made me go there. And so Romans chapter 1. I was about to go to Acts chapter 2 again. Romans chapter 1. I don't even have Acts in my notes. Man, let me look and see. It's not even in, I have no clue where I'm at. All right. In Romans chapter 1, we are in verses 16 and 17. In 16 and 17, we are talking about the message of the missionary. And by the way, guys, you know, the spirit of the missionary isn't just for those that we're talking to on Sunday morning and that we're Skyping. That means it applies to you as well. And the message of the missionary is not just for those that are on overseas or doing their work, that is for you as well. Because here's the truth, how many here know Jesus Christ is their Savior? Raise your hand. Okay, now how many here are missionaries? Everybody that raised their hand is being saved, you are a missionary. It'll come with time, brother. And so what happens is you need to understand that when you get saved, when you give your life to Christ, you automatically become a missionary. Because it is your job, it should be your mission, and your mission field, it could be your workplace, it could be your family, it could be your friends. I mean, listen, it can be your school, it can be wherever, wait a minute, it is wherever you are, that is your field. Now, there are some that are called to do specific things or to reach specific people, and that is your field, and that's what you do. You don't cast it aside. And so when we talk this morning, what we're looking at is the message of the missionary. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I have to finish this message today. And I realize that the clock is not on my side. So I'm just going to ask you to extend grace. And I'll tell you what, if you guys extend grace, I will buy every one of you lunch or dinner. I'm sorry, dinner. I will get every one of you dinner on the 28th. So if you, listen, if you come here at 5 o'clock, if you come here... Why is everybody laughing? I'm going to give everybody dinner. If you are here at 5 o'clock, write this down, everybody. 5 o'clock on March 28th. Do I have the date right?
Yep.
Okay, on March 28th, I will make sure that you have dinner. Praise Jesus. All right, so extend me grace today. I'll feed you on the 28th. All right. What we're looking at here is Romans 1, 16 through 17. And let's look at this real quick. In verses 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not..." And by the way, Paul comes out... Paul establishes his thesis here, or his statement in 1 through 15. And now here, this is what he says. This is why I'm writing this letter. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. This is my goal. And he starts here in 15 or 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And you know, the reality is, guys, some of us sitting in this room right now, right now, you are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I imagine in your heart of hearts, you're sitting there and you're looking at me and you're going, "No, I'm not." Yes, you are. If somebody starts talking about Jesus and you feel yourself drawing up and going, "Oh, I better not say anything. Oh, I better kind of, let me step out of this. Let me, oh, I don't want to." Or if somebody's praying for somebody out loud, "Brother, let me pray for you." And then we start praying out loud and you feel your spirit going, "How embarrassing is that, that they're talking about Jesus and they're praying in public?" Well, listen, you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. And Paul says here in 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Then he goes into his explanation. And I'm probably not going to use my notes today, because I want to get done. But listen, I want you to hear this. And then he goes in and he says, "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And it's not that the Jew, if there's a Jewish guy and a Greek guy standing here and then the Jew gets the first opportunity, it's not what what he's saying. What he's saying is to the Jew first and then also to the Greek is first it came out and it was given to the Jews, to the Jewish, because listen, that is God's chosen people. And you go, really? Don't let pride get in the way. That is God's chosen people, which meant he chose them over you. But listen, I don't care what God does with me as long as I get to go to heaven at the end and get to see his love and feel his love and see him, I'm happy. But it's better than that because he loves us. Amen? And so he says, listen, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. First it was extended to the Jews. And then we find out in Romans chapter 11 that it was extended to the Greek or the Gentile, which by the way, how many here are Jewish? Okay, so then it was extended to you, the Gentile, to make the Jews jealous unto salvation. Use me any way you wish, God. I am a vessel. And so what happened, is this battery going dead? I feel like do I need new batteries? All right, grab me some new batteries, please. And turn this mic on right here. Brother, you have to come up here and... There you go. Do it without unhooking me. All right. So what we... Wow, there is a big difference. So what we're looking at here in 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." Listen, guys. This is the only thing that changes lives. This is the only thing that makes a difference. This is the only thing... Okay, we ready to switch?
All right.
Hey, listen, we just roll with it, amen? All right, so he says, "For it is the power of God for salvation." I'm going to tell you what, the gospel is the power of God to change your life. The gospel is the power of God to empower you. The gospel is the power of God to move you. The gospel is the power of God to comfort you. The gospel is the power of God to strengthen you. The gospel is the power of God to change your life, to change somebody else's life. That's the gospel. I think about what Paul went through. Listen, Paul was imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Damascus and Berea, laughed at in Athens, considered a fool in Corinth, and declared a blasphemer and lawbreaker in Jerusalem. He was stoned and left for dead in Lystra. Some pagans of Paul's day branded Christianity as atheism because it believed in only one God and being cannibalistic because of a misunderstanding of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to tell you, Paul went through it. Amen? Paul was challenged to the core. He was laughed at. How many here have ever been laughed at because you believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. For those of you who have not been able to raise your hand, you haven't lived it out loud loud enough yet. I'm just saying. Because you know what? People go, "Oh, you believe in Jesus? That's a crutch. Man, give me a wheelchair then." You see what I'm saying? I'm good with a wheelchair because I need Jesus. I was thinking of Steve and when he was talking about those broken children. And I thought, man, how broken am I? How broken am I? And what if somebody looked at me and tried to discard me? And the interesting thing is, and of course she's changed her mind since then, but my mother-in-law, when I first started dating her daughter, and I understand because I'll say it out loud, nobody's good enough for my girls. And I'll just say it. So now that I'm a parent, I understand. But she looked at my wife now, her daughter, and she said, because we had actually, you know, a tumultuous beginning, and she said, "Don't you think God is trying to tell you something? Get away from him." And praise God that she was disobedient to her mother. And but you know what? The truth is, listen, there are times we are so broken. And we need Jesus. And Paul was just as broken. But when he realized the power of God to change his life, it changed his life. I don't know about you, but it changed my life. It took me from being somebody who was just, and my wife will tell you, I was just absolutely, I was just not a nice guy. We're just going to put it that way. I was not a nice guy. And yet it was the power of God who broke me, who allowed me to see my life as it was, and then who fixed me. And so when Paul says here, the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it. Why? Because it made me whole. How many of you would be ashamed of a doctor that healed you? How many of you would be ashamed of somebody that saved your life? You wouldn't. You would be full of gratitude and you'd go, man, let me introduce to you. But yet, for some reason, when it comes to Jesus, we're like, hey, man, I appreciate it, but keep it on the down low. Why would we do that? Paul isn't doing that. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Look here, in he says, for it is the power of God to salvation. So the first thing that he talks about here is the power. It's the power of God. Only the power of God is able to overcome man's sinful nature. In Matthew 22, 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are not mistaken, or you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Guys, we need to grab hold of the power of God. The next thing he talked about in this verse was salvation. And so when we look at salvation, it is only through Christ that you can be saved. Listen, it is only through Jesus Christ that you can get to heaven. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father. No one gets into heaven except through me. And so if you're here believing in good works, I am sorry to disappoint you, but good works is going to disappoint you. If you are here believing in status of family, your family has no more status with God than the lowest family in history has, because God is no respecter of person. And I was talking to a guy the other day, and he says, man, I hope when I get there that what I've done is good enough. It's going to get me in. And it was, matter of fact, it was Matt that I was talking to. And so, and you guys, who's Matt? And then you're looking at who I was talking to. Everybody's still clueless. Just get the story. And so it was Matt that I was talking to, and he goes, man, I hope it works. And I go, dude, I am so sorry, but you're going to hell. And we're working construction type work, or you know, and so he's a big boy. He could handle that. Because I know some of you are like, that's so harsh. No, he can handle that. And he looked at me, and I go, okay, here's some questions that I have for you. Number one, you're going to do good works. Yep. Okay. Good works are what according to who? Like whose expectations? And he goes, well, that's a good question. And I go, oh, and by the way, how do you know when good enough has been good enough? Like when do you cross that finish line and you go, woohoo, I made it, I'm in. When is that? And he goes, that's a good question. And I go, and listen, by the way, good works, whose good works? Like, who are we comparing it to? And are those acceptable? And he goes, that's a good question. And I go, I just want a good answer. And he goes, I can't do that. And I go, let me tell you why. Because you can't do it, because it's not going to happen through good works. I said, you know what? Jesus gave everybody a heart. Would you agree with that? Yep. And I said, here's what he did. For with the heart, man believes. That's salvation. And I said, everybody has to decide for themselves. And then he said the most profound thing that he has probably ever thought of. He said, God just put it on a level playing field. And I went, wow, first base. How many ever seen the movie where they, never mind. So I said, man, you just made it to first base. Yeah, he leveled it out. Salvation is for all who believe. And if you don't believe, you can't go to heaven. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, here's what happens. You believe in here, you're no longer the same, you're a different creature. That's why I invite people to come stand up here if you raised your hand. Because listen, if you raise your hand that you received Jesus Christ, and yet you won't make it public, that is your mouth. When you come up here and you make it public, you are with your mouth, if you will, by your actions of coming up saying, I have given my life to Jesus Christ. You're unashamed. If you're ashamed and you won't make it known or make it public that you've received Jesus Christ, I'm going to venture to say you're not saved. And you go, that's not fair. Okay, then I'll venture to say you're a coward. That's harsh, but it's fair. You see, we can't have it both ways. And I'm telling you, Paul says right here, look here what he says. He says in 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power to salvation," which is why I do what I do. It is why many of you do what you do and have your ministries that you have. It is why the missionaries have went overseas and went to other countries and other places. It is why Ron Taylor is in the city of New York. Because he'll tell you, I don't know the first thing about building a church, but I know the first thing about sharing the gospel. And I'm telling you, it's the power unto salvation. If nothing else happens and you come today and you get saved, does anything else matter? No. If you come in and you hear the truth and you hear the gospel, the salvation message, and you say, "I choose not to believe that. You know what? I am going to trust in myself." I love it when you trust in yourself. Well, if you get cancer, then what are you going to trust in? Because yourself obviously is broken and didn't work. I love that. What are you going to believe in? What do you believe in? I love how when Moses goes up on the Mount Sinai and Aaron is obviously the weaker of the two leaders, and so Aaron is there and they go, "Build us a calf, a golden calf." And then he builds it and they worship the golden calf. Okay, I guess because I process information differently. How about we just melt it down and make a fish? We control that God. But you know what? Romans, by the way, Romans in 3 weeks. Guys, I'm telling you. Next week we have a guest visitor, John Connor, up who's coming in. And then the week after that, Charlie Bell is coming in. And then that'll wrap up our missions. And so then the following Sunday... is Easter, and then the following Sunday, I haven't had a whole lot of sleep. So the following Sunday after Easter, we're going to be in Romans 1:18. And remember, I asked you guys to extend me grace before. Hold on to your seats, guys, because the gospel, as loving as it is and as saving as it is, it doesn't just save us from hell, but it also saves us some poor decisions in life. And the book of Romans, man, is an amazing... I'm telling you, guys, the book of Romans is probably the most fantastic, wonderful book in the Bible. I know everybody has their favorites, but if you really stop to look at Romans and unfold Romans, it's an amazing book. And it really tells us how we should live and what we should do and what's good and what's bad and how we should act. And I mean, just it unfolds life for us. And so after Easter, we're going to roll into 1:18. And it's so amazing because Paul says here, listen, in 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation." And then, and in 17, he goes from faith to faith. To each one of you, you have your own faith, and to each one, you're going to be accountable to your own faith. Listen, God's going to hold you accountable for what you believe. Right or wrong, he's going to hold you accountable to it. And that's why Paul says from faith to faith, because God will look at you. He's not going to look at me and hold me accountable for you. Now, he'll hold me accountable for what I did, whether I raised you up to get you spiritually mature or not, which is our focus this whole year, is to raise you up. God will hold you accountable for the rest. It's from faith to faith. But then he goes into 18, and when he goes into 18, he says, look here, "For the wrath of God." Huh. Paul, wait a minute. You're supposed to tell me about the love of Jesus. Why are you going into the wrath of God? Because you really can't understand the love until you realize the wrath that he saved you from. Listen, what is love when there's nothing to be loved from or out of? I mean, how much can I show you I love you if I haven't done anything for you? Because you know love is action. There is nothing about the word love that is stand still and do nothing. Nothing about that word. So some people say, "I love Jesus," but you do nothing for him. There's no action there. You don't love Jesus. When you say, "I love my spouse," but you do nothing to show your spouse that you love your spouse, there's no action there. You don't love your spouse. Listen, love literally is loving. It is going beyond the word. It is putting yourself in the mode, or in go mode, as I say. And so God says, listen, how can you understand my love if you don't see my wrath that I've saved you from? How can you know how much I love you if you don't understand why I died for you? And so when we look at this, guys, and we're gonna unfold 118, and I say this, it's so funny. I am excited to get to 118, but I am dreading getting to 118. that mixed emotions thing. And by the way, I'm just gonna tell you right up front. You don't want to miss the following 2 weeks after Easter. If you come in without a condemning heart toward me and toward God, which, by the way, is really toward God, but you're going to show it toward me, because how do you show it toward God? Because God's like, really? And I'm going, thank you for the information, and I'll do something with it. I don't know what. You know, when people attack me because I preach the gospel, I'm going to tell you right up front, you'll come up to me and you'll go, I do not agree with you, and you were wrong, and you were sharing hate, and blah, 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 and you need to love, and you're not loving, and I'm telling somebody. When you do that to me, nobody else appreciated that but the front row. When you do that to me, I'm going, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I just simply told them what you told me, and what you told them, and what you told me to share with them. And so, Lord, what am I supposed to do with that? And honestly, guys, when you come up and tell me that you're mad at me because I didn't love you because I shared the gospel with you, I read it, I go, wow, okay, I'm going to pray for them, and I click delete on the email. It does not take me where I don't need to go. God says, I love you, and I'm going to spare you from the wrath. And if you guys really want to understand, now listen to me. If you really want to understand the power of the gospel to salvation, don't come in condemning because we're going to talk about homosexuality those weeks. You know why? I have to. I'm really forced to, because if you read on, it's in here. And I cannot avoid it. Don't come in looking to condemn me. Come in looking to learn and understand two things. Understand this. Understand the wrath of God. And understand the love of God. And understand that the love of God isn't always feel good, frou-frou, I don't know what all you call it. Because that's not what it is. You know, my girls, they know that I love them. And growing up, my girls got disciplined. And my discipline was eye-opening. And some would say, you don't love your child. How could you spank your child? It is because I love my child that I spanked my child. I disciplined my child. And God says, it's because I love you, I'm going to discipline you. Don't misunderstand discipline from wrath. There's a huge difference. And so when Paul says here in 16, he's really setting it up to roll into 18, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for who? Everyone. So if you're sitting there and you go, well, this doesn't apply to me, you're wrong. It applies to you, because Paul just said, the gospel says it is for everyone who chooses to believe. How do we believe? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's with the heart, guys. You can't process it up in your brain. If you process it in your brain and you go, yeah, okay, I think it makes sense, I'll give it a try. How many people have you heard say, well, I tried Christianity and now I just don't believe there's any God? Well, here's what you did. You said, I'm going to try the religion, and if that religion doesn't fit me, I'm out. You never tried Jesus. Amen. There's a huge difference. So when people go, well, I tried Christianity, and there's no God, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, really? You didn't go anywhere that you weren't before. You just tried something else different, but you've never tried Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is a life saver. With Jesus is about a relationship. And you know what? If there's a relationship and we have a relationship, we're going to do all we can to help each other. Amen? And I'm going to spare you trouble if I can. I'm going to save you if I can. I'm going to reach down and grab you and pull you out of a bind that you're in if I can. Well, that's what Jesus does. It's a relationship. And so Paul says here, listen, it is the Jesus, the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. not tries the religion, but believes Jesus Christ. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. And from faith to faith that is written, the just shall live by faith. Guys, I'm going to tell you that as Paul wraps up his intro, and then he gives the thesis to the whole book, and then in 18 he starts unfolding it. Hold on. It's going to be good. It's going to offend you. It's going to lift you up. It's going to empower you. It's going to cause you to think. It's going to cause you to doubt. If your relationship isn't right or you don't have a relationship, it's going to cause these questions of doubt in your head. So as we go through this, guys, I'm going to tell you, if you come looking to learn and hear from God, I am so sick of churches that go to church and they just want to go for the fellowship hour or the social time and they don't want to go and hear about God. You don't leave any different. Nothing changes in your life. And you go and you do more harm to Christianity than you do good. I'm telling you, you need to come to church. And I'm challenging you right now. Come to church. Looking to hear from God. Not from me. From God. Come in here after prayer and attitude of, God, tell me what you want me to know. Show me what I need to see. God, use me, empower me, strengthen me, prepare me. If you come in with that attitude, I promise you, God will turn on lights that you have never seen before. God will show you things that will blow you out of the water. God will set you up and he'll empower you and your life will change as you know it. And you say, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. But if you never came listening and looking for God, it doesn't matter that you believe. What about the spiritual maturity that prepares you to change your life and change your family and change your workplace and change your school? If you don't go there, you haven't done anything with your faith. You have done nothing with your faith, and so I am challenging you. Today is a challenge, guys, because you're not going to hear from me for the next 2 weeks. I'll be here, but I'm not going to be preaching, and we're not going to be going into 18. But I'm challenging you right now. You start praying today for 18, for going into this chapter, verse 18. Okay? I'm challenging you. Please just do that. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ now. You know, and I hear so much stuff where they say, well, you know, a prayer doesn't save you. No, but you know what? A prayer is a roadmap that walks you through the process. A prayer is a day that you can hold on to because you can say, I remember when I reached out and believed in Jesus. That when we use the prayer, it's not the prayer to save you. The prayer doesn't save you. It's your heart that believes that day. The prayer just gives you something physical to grab hold of, if you will. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Guys, listen, I'm going to tell you what. This could be the greatest day in your life. This could be the greatest moment in time in your life. If you're here and you're confident in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and then here's what I want you to do. I want you right now immediately praying for those who do not know Jesus. And I can assure you, there's some in here that don't know Jesus today. I can assure you, there's some in here today who because they grew up in church or they believe, the church has been part of their life, that they think they're saved. I'm challenging everyone today, man, check your heart. The Bible says, for whoever believes on Jesus, that's how you get to heaven. And here's what you got to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And that he rose from the dead. And he's at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that's the requirement for salvation. That's what you have to believe on specifically. And you are tired of living your life unto yourself, for yourself, and it just seems like a dead end. Is the walk with Jesus easy? Nope. It's probably going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done. So when they say Christianity is for wimps, I'm just going to tell you right now, your Christian walk is going to be one of the hardest decisions you ever make in your life, because now it means that You have to build that relationship. Remember that you go into that loving. If you want to receive Christ today and change your life and be strengthened and empowered, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I have done wrong. I know that I have missed the mark and I have not been righteous. But Jesus, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Right now, I repent. And today, Jesus, I am trusting you with my life. Today, I surrender all. And I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior.